I'm speaking to Matt Mullenweg on the 1st of April. So the
April
first question,
Fools.
April Fool's Day, I know. I haven't got any April Fool's questions for you, and it's not April Fool's yet for you, is it? It's still the
No, not yet.
no, not yet. Okay. So I want to start off talking about sponsored links. So back in September 2006, you raised it on the WP Hackers mailing list that you'd downloaded Bartown, and you'd found, I think, flower delivery links in the footer. It wasn't until April the following year that it really became a major issue in the community. I was just wondering why it took so long for it to become such a public thing.
I don't know. How long was it in between them?
It would have been 6 months, 7 months.
I don't know. It might have just been that, it's went from being something that one or two themes were doing to like every theme in the directory.
Okay. What was the theme viewer? I haven't actually been able to see it.
The theme viewer?
It was themes.wordpress.net.
Oh yeah, so we had a theme directory originally on a separate domain, and it's just what it says on the tin. It was kind of a theme directory.
Okay, but was it run by someone else?
Nope. Well, someone, I don't recall who was behind it. Maybe Alex? Maybe, I don't recall, but it was, WordPress is an official domain.
Okay.
It's just someplace where we put, some of the extra projects. I feel like the plugin here was originally on a different domain too.
I feel like, sorry.
The plugin directory.
Oh, yeah, was it wppluggins.org or something? I can't remember where the plugin
Sounds
directory
right.
was. Yeah. Okay. So what happened with it? I've read that it got filled with spam and things like that.
No, it was filled with perfectly good. Just that they all had spam.
Yeah. What did you think
So
of that?
these, I thought it was terrible.
Yeah.
Like obviously, it was just very, it wasn't very classy, is probably the best way to put it.
Yeah.
So when you download this theme, and it'd be like free credit cards in the footer or refinance your mortgage, it just made all the sites using it look really
Yeah.
cheap.
Do you think that your previous experience with Hot Nacho gave you any sort of insight into that ahead of time?
Oh yeah, it definitely was a red flag,
Yeah.
and it was tough because I mean, there was way more themes than we even currently have in the directory,
Yeah.
because the business model of I guess they were paying like per month per theme, and so these guys were there was a big incentive for people to make lots and lots and lots of themes, and so I think when we took it down, was it around Easter?
It
They
was,
called it a massacre.
yeah, the Great Theme Purge or something. That would have been July.
Yeah.
So you announced in April there was two posts on Weblog Tools Collection, you and Mark. And then in July, Mark announced that he wasn't going to put them on a Weblog Tools Collections anymore. And the next day, or later the same day, you said that they would be pulled from the directory.
I mean, a lot of it was, I don't recall exactly who, but a lot of the people who were doing it were also like big WordPress contributors.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a sketchy thing. So maybe that was part of the delay as well, is giving those folks a little bit of time to either clean up or find alternative income sources
Yeah.
or things like that. But for a few of these folks, it was pretty significant. It was thousands of dollars per month.
Yeah, I spoke to Brian Gardner and he said that he made like $1,000 from theme sponsorship, which is quite a big deal. You said in your
And there were some sponsors which weren't bad.
Yeah.
They were more like a sponsorship, and they didn't require links or have spammy links. But the vast majority of these were really spammy looking links.
Yeah, like credit cards and
Mortgages
flower delivery.
and
They were quite random. What did you think about credit links? photographer or designer.
Then credit links started being abused. So we said, well, it's okay to have a credit link to the author. And all of a sudden, you know, now they pay the people to say, can freecreditcards.com be the author of this theme? Mm-hmm. And so that was a thing that started being exploited as well.
Yeah. So did you go to Mark at Weblog Tools Collection about it, or did he come to you about the problem?
I probably went to Mark. Mm-hmm. I mean, Weblog Tools Collection was definitely the paper of record at the time.
Yeah.
And Mark has always been sort of a great counsel, particularly on community issues. Like, he really has a good true north mm-hmm. in thinking about these things. Mm-hmm. I would still go to him today.
Yeah.
It hasn't come up recently, but I'd be happy to go to him.
Yeah. So you ended up posting about the sponsored links. And you said that you'd received some pretty nasty messages as a result of pulling sponsored themes from WordPress official directory. I was wondering if you can recall what any of these messages were, or you have any of them?
I definitely would put it in, you know, the top 20 events that got me the most hate in WordPress
really?
History. Well, because, you know, there were people who were like, my kids can't go to school anymore, and I'm not going to be able to pay my bills this month. And like, they were, you know, it was impacting people's livelihood. Mm-hmm. And so they were very, very, very worked up about it.
What did they think your motivations were?
I don't know. Did you find any?
I know. The most common thing that you come across is Automattic doesn't want me to make money. I mean, that's what people say all the time.
And I think, you know, history has proven the opposite of that.
Yeah.
But sure, at the time, I mean, Automattic was a lot newer. Mm-hmm. And certainly, you know, I think people could not be faulted because the history of companies coming out of open source projects is not fantastic. Mm-hmm. So Automattic was more the exception than the rule. Mm-hmm. In terms of the health of WordPress staying strong, even as Automattic has grown. Mm-hmm.
So what was your attitude whenever premium themes started to emerging in not long after the sponsored themes thing? In 2008, they really started taking hold.
I think, you know, there's obviously issues around licensing. But once we got the licensing issues cleaned up, I've always been very supportive of premium themes. Mm-hmm. And in fact, many of those guys, particularly I'll give Brian credit for, I believe, being the first to relicense his work as GPL, were very brave.
Yeah.
Because it was not clear that they would still have a business after they relicensed. Mm-hmm. It was an open question. Like, we thought they would.
Yeah.
But it wasn't certain. I even talked to some folks. I was like, hey, if this all goes to zero, like, you know, Automattic will just, you know, pay you what you used to be making for a few months.
That's a good offer.
Figure something out. It was, you know, it did take some bravery to be the first person across the gate.
Yeah.
Now, of course, we know that these companies can make millions or tens of millions of dollars while being on GPL. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing to be able to point to that.
Yeah.
And I love pointing to the experience of those people going GPL mm-hmm. as when people come to me and they're scared about open sourcing their work.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting talking to those people now. Well, they all say that we just didn't understand the GPL and that there wasn't... they just didn't understand the license. People found it confusing. They thought free had to mean free as in beer. So
I would say that still people have trouble understanding the nuances of the GPL license, but we've seemed to have reached a pretty good equilibrium in the WordPress community mm-hmm. around these things, where before they were highly controversial. And again, you know, because you're affecting people's livelihoods, or they think you are. Mm-hmm. You know, now that it's been a few years and everyone's doing fine. In fact, they're doing better than ever, especially since we've been able to grow WordPress's market share and user base so much. Some of the folks who were some of the loudest or biggest detractors, including folks, you know, like Carl Hancock or someone, are now, I would say, generally supportive and understanding of sometimes the tough decisions we have to make in the project leadership.
Yeah, one of the things you said in a WP Hackers thread in 2008 was that if you take the arguments behind premium themes to their logical conclusion, we face a WordPress world where all new themes and plugins cost money. Feature development is stagnant because everyone just contributes their ideas to paid plugins, and both become user hostile as they attempt to cut down on piracy. We've talked before about how feature development can become stagnant because everyone contributes their ideas to their plugins. But why at that time did you think it also related to themes?
If I recall that thread, it's a common anti-open source argument, actually, where people say, oh, no one's going to work on this for free. You know, people really need to be, great developers need to be compensated for their work. Or maybe developers will do it, but really good designers aren't going to work on things for free.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's true. There are probably millions of people out there who won't. But as you and I know, there's lots of people who will. And or work on things for non-monetary benefits, be it, you know, a sense of accomplishment or building up a portfolio or, you know, building up your consulting business. I mean, just things that aren't directly for money. It's why all of us do it. Excuse me.
Okay.
What was the question?
So my question was why you changed your position on themes, whereas in 2008 you didn't seem to be that all that behind there being themes for sale, but now it's you seem happy with it. Why did your position on that change?
Well, certain amounts of the position are similar. So for example, there was a big push to have like a store on WordPress.org where people could buy things. And we haven't done that and still have no plans to do that. You know, all the commercial stuff happens off-site. We do point to commercial themes, and I'm fine with that. You know, basically as a way to promote, because there's still folks out there who aren't 100% GPL. So we'll make sure we're pointing people to ones that are. And in terms of, I'm trying to think what else. Something I've talked about a few times before, that there is a value to a design scarcity, where a design can be more valuable when fewer people have it. So, again, if you take things to the logical conclusion, one way to make a design more scarce is to create a barrier to entry, so to charge more. And I think that that's still valid. And so in a world where, you know, in a world where some themes cost money, I think we've shown that there is still lots of incentives to have free themes, and the WordPress community will still be okay. And we try to lead by example as well. It was a few years later that we started doing the yearly default themes, and that's been, I think, really fantastic, including having folks like Drew, who are noted premium theme authors who donate their time, work for free, which people but no one would ever do, to really give a gift to the WordPress community of a beautiful design that sort of sets the bar for that year.
Why do you think themes?
That's one of the things I still sort of keep on my plate, is being involved with the default theme, and it's always a lot of fun.
What are we having next year, 2015?
I don't want to pre-announce anything, but I have already had discussions with Lance and Ian about it.
Okay, and that's exciting.
The main thing we do is just try to do something different than previous years. I mean, we have a pretty good magazine theme out now.
Yeah.
We have kind of like a Tumblr theme that's pretty good. We have some good basic blog themes. I think it'd be interesting. I'll just tell you what I think would be interesting, since no one's going to listen to this for a while anyway. Like a really page-oriented theme.
Yeah.
So you know, kind of like a left-hand nav page-oriented theme. I guess mm-hmm. that's the easiest way to put it.
Yeah.
In some ways, it might end up looking a little bit like remember Classic? With the left-hand navigation and everything?
Yeah, from years ago.
There was the version I had done, and then there was a version Dave Shea did. So, but they both have, you know, fixed position left-hand nav. It might be something sort of closer to that, of course. Infinitely better looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. So why did it take so long to change the default theme? From Kubrick to 2010.
That's a good question. Yeah, 5 years, right?
Long, long time. You're kind of sick of seeing that blue header everywhere.
Yeah. I think it's one of those examples where you know, the diversity of opinions mm-hmm. and the open source community, the broader WordPress development community, really kind of ground any progress there to a halt. Mm-hmm. And I would say it was one of those, thankfully, rare situations where I really had to like cut the Gordian knot to get something moving. Similar to sort of how MP6 works and how we went with MT, it's part of the way we were able to get the default themes going is by setting ground rules, getting everyone to agree on those, mm-hmm. and advocating some of the, a little bit of the community involvement mm-hmm. In exchange for saying that, well, this is something that a consensus or a committee is not going to be able to decide well, so let's designate someone.
Yeah.
So, I don't remember all the rules, but I remember one important one being that we were going to change it every year. So mm-hmm. kind of like the weather in Texas, right? If you don't like it, wait 5 minutes. Yeah. That removed a lot of the pressure because people were talking about the theme like, oh, this is going to be the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. So they wanted it to be a really good one.
Yeah.
But if we're saying it's going to change every year, they're like, oh, well, you know, if I don't like this one, it's okay. I'll like the next one or mm-hmm. I'll try to get the next one that I like. And that was actually huge in removing some of their arguments. Mm-hmm. I remember Jane saying to me, I don't remember which theme it was. It was one of the 20-somethings. But she was like, yeah. I guess they're all 20-somethings, aren't they?
Yeah.
But she's like, yeah, I don't care for this one very much. But it's okay, it's because next year we're going to get a new one.
Yeah. It's exciting to see what the new one's going to be every year. So.
One of the other things is that we said it's not going to try to be a framework or a teaching mm-hmm. theme, right? This is a really important distinction as well because we found it difficult to make something that both showcased WordPress's functionality and mm-hmm. what we thought was sort of a good-looking theme that would be an attractive default, as well as be a good framework for other things to be built on, mm-hmm. or be a good sort of teaching mechanism learning how to theme.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about it, a lot of those, I think those are sort of maybe not impossible to create a theme that does all three well, but mm-hmm. definitely a lot, lot harder. The Venn diagram of those overlapping is difficult. So mm-hmm. we sort of, again, reduce the scope and just say, hey, this is going to be something that that we like and that, mm-hmm. that we think, you know, is an attractive default. So if someone just, you know, installs WordPress, they'll be like, oh, this looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, was getting easier and easier because Kubrick was looking so dated.
Yeah,
I think it's another example of those times when sometimes things have to get bad before they get better.
Yeah.
So, you know, the fact that Kubrick had been the default for so long and just felt so old helped sort of, you know, cut through the Gordian knot.
Michael Heilemann.
And the final thing is that we said, you know, aesthetics. What's that?
I was just going to say Michael Heilemann still gets support requests for it. So,
And honestly, it's one of those things. I actually, if you could close your eyes and pretend you've never seen Kubrick before, I just saw it for the first time. It's nice.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's one of these things where familiarity breeds contempt.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, because it was the default, because it was on so many spam sites, because it was, you know, also was in an aesthetic of its time, you know, the mm-hmm. rounded corners and the gradients. It just feels a bit older. Mm-hmm. But on its own merits, like mm-hmm. if an alien came to the planet and saw that theme, I think it's got, you know, it's got some really good typography. It's got a lot of good features.
Yeah.
So the final thing for the, that sort of broke the default theme gridlock was we said that aesthetics are inherently subjective. Mm-hmm. You know, perfectly smart and reasonable arguments can be made on both sides. Mm-hmm. So it was just going to be something that I liked, like meaning that not ignoring everyone or anything like that, but ultimately like the aesthetic factor, it was just a decision that I was going to make. And then that would be what we all agreed on versus mm-hmm. arguing too much about that. Of course, everyone will have an opinion on it,
yep.
but we just can't get stuck there, yep. especially.
Especially, sorry, you broke it up.
Bring an external designer in.
Yep. Yep.
Sorry, I have to mute because I have a little bit of a cough. I apologize.
Oh, I see. I thought I thought you just had a bad internet connection. Okay.
No, if I make a weird pause, it's because I'm coughing and I'm trying to mute so it doesn't hurt your ears.
Okay. Thank you.
Especially if an external designer is coming in, it's much easier for external designers to work with one or two people. Mm-hmm. Versus try to please, you know, everyone. It's yeah. impossible, actually.
Yeah. So why do you think themes have been more contentious than plugins?
Do you think they have?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the major sort of fault lines have often been around themes, around the GPL. Seems to be themes that are, that really... get people really wound up. I mean, occasionally there's a thing around plugins, but it's not the same.
I feel like plugins still get people wound up, especially because, you know, people perceive me as not wanting premium plugin authors to make money or whatever. Similar arguments to what they said 4 or 5 years ago mm-hmm. around themes. I think that it was a culture thing. Mm-hmm. So there were always thousands and thousands of plugin developers that really understood open source. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had a really great plugin directory from the early days. And that sort of, there was a culture of much like WordPress, open sourceness around plugins. Mm-hmm. People coming from a design background, or maybe, you know, not from a background of open source, had this more proprietary mindset.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, often saying things like, well, design is different from development. It's implying, essentially, it's more special. And that, you know, you're not ever going to have high-quality design mm-hmm. or designers work like open-source developers do, which I obviously strongly disagree with.
Mm-hmm. Just seeing if there's a pause or if you're finished.
Oh, I was done.
Okay, that's fine. So why did you remove 200 themes from the WordPress repository?
Say that again?
Why did you remove 200 themes from the WordPress repository? Would have been around...
Oh, it was way more than 200, right? It was like thousands.
In Christmas 2009, I think? Let me just grab the link. This was not the sponsored links thing. This was the, let me find the thread. It was Spectacular was the theme shop that sort of posted about it to begin with.
Huh. It might've been 200 of their themes, but I think the total was a lot more. I feel like, and there's probably some posts about this, maybe on Weblog's tool collections, maybe on my blog, where we went from having, I feel like, a couple thousand to just a couple hundred themes left.
So that was after the sponsored links. Is that correct?
I thought it was because of the sponsored links.
That was because of the sponsored links, but then there was another great purge from the WordPress theme directory. When 200 themes were removed. Let me know.
Can you send me a link?
Yeah, I'm just trying to find it.
By the way, this post from 2008 is a pretty good one. Like, sometimes I read my old stuff, and I'm like, I don't know who this guy was. And sometimes I'm like, oh, this kid was smart. This is one of those.
It's nice when that happens. Let me just give you this link to Republics. I'll grab you the hackers, new WP hackers thread as well. There you go. And there's one. That was the one. Spectacular.
This Jeffro guy.
Yeah, I know. Who's he? yeah, the second one. Why were 200 WordPress themes removed? December
2008. I don't recall exactly. But if it does sort of ring a bell a little bit. It was going to be, it's either one of these two things. It was, so it looks like it was 200 themes that linked to Spectacular. And we were removing all themes that linked to them. I think it was, or maybe one of three things. They might have been sponsoring other themes and basically getting everyone to link to their site. Possibility one, possibility two, they had non-GPL stuff on their site. So, you know, as part of, from WordPress.org, we try to only link to things that follow the WordPress .org guidelines in terms of providing the same freedoms to users as we do. Could have been that, or, and this is the third possibility, it could be that on Spectacular itself, they had sponsored links. And so we were trying to avoid linking to bad bad neighborhoods, as it's said in the Google world.
So
it's one of those three. Hopefully you can figure it out and find something else.
Yeah, I've got a few things. I just wanted to chat to you about it. WooThemes affiliates had stuff removed. All sorts of people had themes removed.
I'm guessing it's because they weren't GPL yet.
Yeah. So the policy is GPL themes on the repository, but not if they link to sites that promote non-GPL products.
Oh, here we go. Thanks for emailing me about the theme directory. The other day I noticed there was a ton of bad stuff that snuck in, like spammy SEO links, themes whose site said you couldn't modify them, meaning not remove the links, and the things the directory was meant to avoid. There were also a few that violated WP community guidelines, like the domain policy. That would be themes linking to sites that had WordPress in the domain. And it looks like we accidentally caught Justin Tadlock as a mistake.
Yeah.
And then put it back. So, yeah.
So what about plugins? Because plugins have to be GPL. I mean, to be on the repository, they have to be GPL, but they don't have to necessarily be GPL, do they?
It gets into a technical discussion.
Yeah.
You know, how much a plugin is integrated or not, and how it works, interacts with WordPress's APIs, and so it's kind of a subtle thing whether a specific plugin has to be GPL or not. But the vast, vast majority do.
And can there be plugins on the WordPress repository that are GPL, but that on the author site, they're not GPL? I've seen some threads discussing this somewhere.
So, an author is allowed, you know, as the owner of the copyright, they can make their code available under multiple licenses.
Yeah.
So that could be GPL and MIT. That could be GPL and a proprietary license.
Okay.
However, if they're distributing it, depending on how the code works, it might be compelled to be GPL by the viral nature of the GNU public license.
Yeah.
However, again, it would be a case-by-case thing. There's ways to get around that or avoid it, and there's some ways that you really can't avoid it. So the truth is that someone really wants to avoid the GPL. You know, there's holes in it big enough you can drive a truck through.
Yeah.
But that's why we've always said it's less about about the letter of it. Mm-hmm. And this is something that I've been widely criticized for. But it's less about the letter and more about the spirit.
Yeah.
People are like, what's the spirit? There's no spirit in law. Well, what it is that we're saying that users should have these freedoms, the four freedoms. The freedom to modify the software, the freedom to use it for any purpose, the freedom to share your modifications. I mean, these things are really, really crucial to a free internet and a free world. Mm-hmm. And so we only ever want to link to and promote and certainly host software that ensures these freedoms.
Mm-hmm. What point
because
did you...
we feel, even though lots of people don't understand this, it's very important to, I would say, the whole core development team, that that's something that WordPress is known for. Even if people don't appreciate it, that freedom is there. And we're going to fight to protect it, and we're also going to try to engender a community where that is at the core of everything we do.
Mm-hmm. At what point did you decide to go to the Software Freedom Law Center?
I believe that was around our engagement with Mr. Pearson.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know if it was before or after the what was it, Mixergy.
Yeah.
Our spirited online debate.
Yep.
But it was definitely around that time, and it was just that, you know, I'm not a lawyer. I can read it and I can understand it from a logical point of view, but mm-hmm. the Software Freedom Law Center is obviously the world experts in this. And having them officially opine is the closest we can get to, yeah, it's the next best thing to having a court case.
Yeah. Did they take
and
long?
I was actually very excited that perhaps Chris would actually go to court because, as you know, there isn't a ton of case law around mm-hmm. around the GPL. And normally because no one is stubborn enough to actually go to court over it.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, we finally got one. and I was looking forward to being able to, you know, in the U.S. law system, you know, provide the precedent for anyone who comes after us to protect and defend the GPL. Mm-hmm. Because literally, like, companies like Cisco and Linksys and,
yeah.
you know, huge companies with billions of dollars in resources have opted to not fight it. So you really do need someone who's going to be stubborn enough to fight it.
But Thesis have changed their license now to a proprietary license. Would you be...
Really?
Thesis 2.
Yeah.
Came out with let me see. Thesis 2 license. It's not GPL. It's not been GPL for a while.
I have not seen that. So we have to do a code analysis again.
Yeah.
But as you know, the Software Freedom Law Center is that non-PHP, so unlinked code, which can be CSS, images, JavaScript, isn't required to be GPL. It doesn't trigger the viral nature of WordPress's GPL code.
Yeah.
And then the stance of the WordPress community was that a theme without images or CSS isn't much of a theme. So even though something could be legally compliant, if the entire package isn't providing the same freedoms to users, it's not something that we want to link to or promote. Because it doesn't really follow, the things that we hold dear and true in WordPress.
Did you ever get in touch with companies like Template Monster that sell themes without a GPL license?
I'm thinking of Theme Forest.
Yeah, Template Monster, they started selling themes in like 2006, before anybody else.
We got in touch with everyone that we could.
Yeah.
And it was definitely, it was a lot of time.
Yeah.
There's times when like, WordPress core stuff is more than a full-time job for me, and that's definitely one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
were you personally...
I see you linked to a licensing for the new thesis thing. There are also ways to word licenses around like multi-site support where perhaps the code is GPL, but the developer chooses not to provide support for more than one site unless you buy a special license. So sometimes people interpret those as being GPL violations when they're actually not. But I'm not aware of the latest Chris has done. And I like to think that he is supportive. He's done so well from the WordPress community, he'd be supportive of things continuing to be GPL, especially since his business didn't crash. Like, I think he was worried it would.
Yeah, I'll have to double check the interview that I did with him, but I'm pretty sure that he had lawyers rewrite his license.
Well, maybe we'll dive back into it.
You never know. Good luck with that. So did you publish the full copy of what the Software Freedom Law Center sent you on the blog, or do you have anything else?
That was the full copy.
Yeah,
they're obviously almost just like a judge writing an opinion. Like, they take their role very seriously. And so, they chose their words exactly.
Yeah.
And, I wanted to quote it in its entirety.
Yeah.
Because that's, really what tells the message.
Was it what you expected? Or had you been expecting, like, the CSS and the JavaScript also should be GPL?
The arguments that make CSS or JavaScript GPL, like mm-hmm. that it's compiled and run in the browser, are pretty nebulous, mm-hmm. right? Like, some people do make those arguments, but they're a little bit of a stretch.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you contact Envato about going fully GPL?
Yeah, of course.
How did that discussion go?
Well, obviously they're not fully GPL.
No.
But they've moved from, before they were actively hostile to the GPL. Like, you literally could not choose GPL as your license.
Yeah.
So, list on Envato sites, you were forced to choose something differently.
Yeah.
And they've been going in the right direction, even if they're not in the place where I would like them to be yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they were one of the first people to become compliant. They went for split license, I think 2008, 2009, they became compliant.
Remember, there's no such thing as a split license.
Okay, how should I describe it?
They went for differently licensed files in the same package.
Okay. Well, you call it in a blog post packaging gymnastics. Yeah, which I thought was pretty good, pretty accurate. Yeah. Jake Caputo had already been allowed to speak at WordCamps, and then all of a sudden the policy was enforced. Why did that happen so suddenly, and why hadn't it been enforced before then?
You know, with a lot of these things, there's not a plan for why it hadn't been enforced or why it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's often just that we don't notice, and then someone raises it as an issue. Much like you just raised thesis as new license. Like, thanks, Siobhan. I gotta look into this.
I don't know if that's an actual thank you or not.
That was a sarcastic thank you.
Yeah, well, that might be.
So obviously it's a tough thing because the opportunity in front of us is so large,
mm-hmm.
and myself and the entire community can often get bogged down in these things that are sometimes philosophically important, sometimes not. But regardless, it's not writing code or designing things that provide a better experience for our users.
Yeah.
So they can't be a distraction to the entire project.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So in 2007, you announced that there'd be a theme marketplace on WordPress.com. And it didn't actually appear until 4 years later. Why did it take so long?
And I think that announcement predated the first premium theme, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
So I do believe that Automattic unintentionally created the premium theme market because we reached out to a number of folks, including Brian, everyone like that, and could, essentially they built themes to sell in this marketplace, and then we decided not to do it.
I see. So you gave them the products, basically.
They had the product, and they were like, well, I guess I'll sell this anyway.
Why didn't you go ahead with it?
It's one of those things where, more than many times, I put the community interest of WordPress above what was in Automattic's short-term financial interest.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and we know now that, you know, premium themes and the theme marketplace is a great business. You know, it generates a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't seem right to go into it when we hadn't really worked out all the licensing issues yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you notice, the time when we did it was when all the licensed stuff was fully settled.
Mm-hmm.
Because technically as a service, WordPress.com doesn't distribute things, again, yes, technically, so it wouldn't need the GPL stuff. And that was kind of what some of the authors were asking for. And that didn't feel right to me.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to require everything to be GPL if we were going to sell it. But then it wasn't really clear, you know, if it was also GPL, would anyone buy it? It just, it was messy.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed good to wait until some of the air was cleared and these issues were resolved on the community side before we, you know, started pursuing a business there.
Mm.
And we did, and I'm glad we did. And it's, you know, been a great and growing thing ever since.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
And everything on there is 100% GPL.
So. Yeah, that's what you wrote in your first post. So you wanted it all to be 100% GPL. Okay, well, that's all my questions about themes. So we can leave that there. Let me stop my recorder. Thank you. I've got a bunch next. I'll schedule something.